You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today is the first day of Advent. Can you believe it? You know what that means? That means Christmas is just about 3 weeks away. Wow, here it comes. Are you ready? Christmas is coming, folks. You know what that means? Okay, one or two of you are excited. You know what else that means? It's time for Christmas music. How many of you have been listening to Christmas music like nonstop already? Where are the people who started listening to Christmas music like before Thanksgiving? All right, we got some of you in the house today. Well, there's one song that's been stuck in my head in particular, and we're going to just listen to a few lines of it. Maybe you want to sing along if you know it. So go ahead, guys.
Haul out the holly, put up the tree before my spirit falls.
Come on, sing it if you know it.
Fill up the stocking, I may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. For we kneel in Christmas, right this very minute, candles in the window, carols at the spinet. Yes, we kneel in Christmas, right this very minute.
Okay, stop it. All right. You in the Christmas spirit now? Is that helping you? Are you getting there this morning now? Okay, now we're getting into the Christmas spirit. That one just gets stuck in your head. Once it gets there, you're going to be singing that for the rest of the day. But did you listen to the lyrics of that song? If you listen a little bit closer, that sounds more like a panicked Christmas to-do list than it does a Christmas carol. I mean, go back and look at these lyrics. They're going to be on the screen. Haul out the holly. Put up the tree before my spirit falls again. Fill up the stocking. I may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. For we need a little Christmas right this very minute. We need a little Christmas now. I don't know about you, but I feel stressed just reading the words of that song. I mean, wow. It just really, you know, captures that frantic spirit. And I think this song is very insightful, though, because it really captures the stress and the strain of this season. Like, we need a little Christmas now. This is like a New Yorker Christmas, right? Christmas, right? Just frantic and rushed and fast. And a few lines later, actually, the song actually says this. For I've grown a little colder, grown a little sadder, grown a little older. Wow, are you feeling the Christmas spirit now? Tell you what. And, you know, many of us, though, we've felt that way after Christmas, haven't we? I mean, the Christmas season comes and goes, and you actually feel older. You feel like you aged during the season. You feel tired. You feel stressed. You feel worn out. And then the credit card statements come in January, and you really feel stressed out. And sadly, we've had too many Christmases like that. Many times we've gone through the hustle and the bustle and the strain and the stress of the season only to realize, like, we really did miss Christ in the middle of all of it. And, you know, as Christians, we know that the season is about Jesus, and we know what the truth of Christmas is. But sometimes Christmas comes and goes, and we feel like we missed it. And the truth is, 2,000 years ago, on the very first Christmas, almost everybody missed it. There wasn't very many people who were there to witness the birth of this Savior, this newborn king, in a manger, in a stable out in Bethlehem in the middle of nowhere. Almost everybody missed it. But what if we did something different this morning, church, on this first day of the Christmas season? What if we did something different, and instead of just hearing about the Christmas story this year, instead of just singing about the Christmas story and Christmas carols, what if we actually entered into the Christmas story ourselves? We really embraced it, and we allowed it to change our hearts. Now, today is the first day of Advent. This is the official season on the church calendar leading up to Christmas. And Advent comes from the Latin term Adventus, which means coming. Everybody say coming. It's a time of expectant waiting and preparation for the celebration of Christmas. And so here's what we do. At Advent time, we look back and we celebrate the first coming of Jesus, the Christmas story, his birth. But then we also look forward with anticipation to the truth that one day Christ will come again. We long with anticipation for his return. And then we do a third thing. We open our hearts to Christ coming to us afresh in this season. So this is a season to slow down and worship fully. This is not a season of stress. This is not a season of anxiety. This is not a season to max out your credit cards. This is not a season to get in a fight with your family about politics around the Christmas dinner table. Hello? No. This is a season of worship. And so what if we, church, today, collectively, as a church, committed to not miss Christmas this year, but to fully embrace the presence of God? I mean, to slow down and make room in our hearts for the wonder of God and to celebrate God with us and God beside us and the God who became one of us, because this is a season to worship fully. Like the song says, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. What would that look like for me and you to do that today, to make a collective decision as a church, to make a personal decision to prepare room in our hearts for our Savior to come to us afresh, for his presence to fill our lives, to be filled with peace in the midst of all the things we have to do, in the midst of the shopping and the parties and the decorations, to say, God, I am going to, with your help, slow down and embrace this as a season of worship. You know, a few years ago, I really made a switch. I didn't really know much about this whole Advent thing. I grew up in a very non-liturgical church, but I really learned something about this season of Advent, of preparation, of really preparing my heart. We kind of just did Christmas Eve and Christmas when I was a kid. But I have learned to embrace this time of year as a special time of worship. And can I tell you that it changes my life every year, that the Christmas season has become so special to me. It's one of my favorite times of year, not just for the festivities, but to worship God, to really draw closer to him. And so I want to invite you to do that. We're going to pray now. I just think as a church right now, we should just pray and commit ourselves to this. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray with me, okay? All over this place. And here's what we're going to do. I want to lead you in a prayer. It's the Quaker prayer. Would you take your hands out? And I want you to put your hands down like this, right where you're sitting. Just take your hands out. We're going to pray. And the first thing we're going to do is it's a release. It's a symbol of release. And then we're going to turn our hands up. Would you pray with me? Let's commit ourselves and dedicate ourselves to this being a season of worship. So, Father, we thank you once again. We thank you for this beautiful time of year that we find ourselves in. And Lord, today as a church, we are committing to worshiping fully. And so, Lord, as our hands are facing down today, we release stress and fear and anxiety and worry and doubt. Lord, we are releasing those things. And now, Father, we turn our hands up. Lord, we turn our hands up as a sign that we want to receive everything that you have for us. Lord, today we are preparing room in our hearts for you to come to us afresh, to fill us with your presence, to fill us with your love and your joy and your peace. Lord, to fill us with your Spirit. And Lord, we're just making room for your Son to come to us afresh in this day. We dedicate ourselves this morning to this being a season of worship. We thank you for it, and we anticipate you to do good things in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, you know, we talked about entering into the story. And so as we slow down this Advent season and we enter into the story, we're going to first encounter the Christmas story through the eyes of Mary, through the eyes of the Virgin Mary. Now, in Luke chapter 1, we're going to be there in just a moment. We read about how the angel Gabriel came to Mary and announced this amazing news that she would give birth to the Messiah. So if you want to track with us, we'll be in Luke chapter 1 in just a moment. We're going to kind of skip around the Christmas story a little bit, but if you have your Bible or whatever device you're using, this will be on the screen as well. But in Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, and at this time, Mary is most likely a teenager. Scholars tell us she's a poor girl living in a town that nobody cared about, on the backside of a little province in the Roman Empire, and she's engaged to marry a sleepy carpenter named Joseph. And the angel Gabriel appears to her, and this is what it says, Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 38. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And Mary says, stop the bus, okay? I paid attention in biology class. Like, how is this going to happen? Because I'm just a young, engaged maiden. I'm a virgin. And listen to what the angel Gabriel says there. This is the miraculous conception. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age." Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. "And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." And look at these words in verse 38. Look at Mary's response. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Wow. So the angel shows up to Mary, appears to her, tells her that she's found favor with God. And then he says to her, do not be afraid. Can you imagine the fear and anxiety that young Mary was probably experiencing at that moment? I mean, first of all, she had just seen an angel. Hello. Can you imagine you're going about your day's duties and an angel appears to you, this like, you know, magnificent being. And listen, if you pay attention in scripture, oftentimes when angels appear, the first thing they say is, do not be afraid. See, many of us, we have this nice little notion that we would like to see an angel. You know, I would love if like a guardian angel just appeared to me. That would be a magnificent thing. No, you would probably pee your pants. That's the truth, okay? It would be a very, very scary moment in your life. And that's exactly what's going on here. So she sees an angel, first of all, okay? And then think about this, a little bit overwhelming news when you're just a young peasant girl that you're going to give birth to the Messiah, to the Son of God. And of course, Mary knows what it means to be pregnant out of wedlock in her culture. She knows that this could bring great shame upon herself and upon her family. And then not to mention that she had to explain all of this to Joseph. How would you like to be a fly on the wall in that conversation between the two of them? I mean, wow, there's a lot to be fearful about. And yet her response is amazing. Her response is amazing. Look at these words. May your word to me be fulfilled. I think this has to be one of the greatest responses of faith in all of the Bible. Mary comes into agreement with the word of God and she becomes pregnant with a miracle. And then later on, she meets her cousin Elizabeth and they share in the good news and Mary bursts forth into song. It's what we call Mary's Magnificat. So look at her response in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 49. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. So here's young Mary who's faced with all of this uncertainty. What does it even mean that I'm going to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit, that I'm going to give birth to the one who's going to be called Most High, the Savior of his people? There's a lot of fear and anxiety that could have crept up in her soul. And yet, in the midst of it, did you notice that Mary chose to worship? She chose to worship even in the midst of uncertain circumstances. And do you know that's true for us as well? Even in the midst of uncertainty, we can choose to worship. We can choose to worship because, you know, worship at its core is a choice. Worship is a choice. See, we're all choosing something. It's not if you're going to worship, but what you're going to worship. And did you know that whatever you ascribe worth and value to, that is your God? Whatever you ascribe value to. So when you think about that definition, there are a lot of people who don't claim to be religious who are actually worshiping because they ascribe value to something. Maybe it's money, maybe it's power, maybe it's sex, maybe it's whatever. But everybody's worshiping something. Worship is ultimately a choice. And the scriptures, all throughout the scriptures, we see that worry does not disqualify us from worship. Worry does not excuse us from worship. All throughout the scriptures, we see people who worshiped even in difficult times. You crack open the Psalms and you read the psalmist. Many times the psalmist is worshiping in the midst of uncertainty, worshiping in the midst of despair and difficult times and fear and anxiety. There's a common pattern in many of the psalms. A lot of times the psalmist cries out to God. They bring their need to God. They let God know what they're feeling. But when they come to the end of that psalm, yet will I trust in you, O God. They come around to worship. God, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to choose to worship you in the midst of my circumstances. So let me ask you this question this morning, church, on the first day of Advent, as we've prayed this prayer of commitment coming into this season, can we choose to worship in every circumstance? In every circumstance. No matter what you're walking through in this season of life right now, no matter what might happen in the next few weeks, what might go wrong with your perfect Christmas, what the office party might be like, what the stress and the strain, whatever the circumstances are, can we commit ourselves to not allow the circumstances to rule us, but to respond to God in worship? Let me tell you, this is one of the greatest times of the year to worship because this is one of the times that our culture is cooperating with us a little bit because everywhere you go, Christmas music is playing. This is one of the only times in of the year you can walk around in the shopping mall and the music that's playing is glorifying God. Come on, you're walking around shopping looking for a good deal. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Like the gospel, the birth of the Savior is being announced in the shopping mall. Hello. And so you just got to embrace it. I'm going to tell you, Christmas carols are some of the greatest music you can worship to. And I've learned to do that. Put some Christmas carols on and just worship to. The other day, I was having a bad day. I was kind of a little frustrated. I was cleaning up around the house. I just put some Christmas music on. I put on Mariah Carey's Christmas album and just started worshiping to it. Okay? You ought to hear her sing, Oh Holy Night. It makes me worship Jesus. And so you just got to embrace this time as a time of worship. And God will do something great in your life no matter what circumstances we face. So as we continue in the Christmas story, we also find some shepherds. Now, this is a little bit surprising because being a shepherd was not exactly a desirable job. Nobody was expecting to see the shepherds show up in the Christmas story, okay? There was no little kid in Jesus' time who was like, when I grow up, I want to be a shepherd. Because shepherding was like the original dirty job. Shepherding was a minimum wage, dead-end job. Shepherds moved around from place to place. They were the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. They were marginalized. So try to picture the most marginalized people in our culture being included in the Christmas story. Maybe you might think of like seasonal migrant workers that come up from Central America to pick fruit or something. I mean, people who don't have much, right? Who could be exploited, bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. Picture whoever that is in our culture today, that's who the shepherds were. And yet they get included in this story. Nobody expected anything good to happen to shepherds, but they're included. So look at what happens to them in Luke chapter 2. They were out keeping their sheep in the fields. And then look at Luke chapter 2, verses 9 through 20 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. There you go, once again, terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Can you imagine this? You're out in the middle of the night, shepherding, doing whatever shepherds do, whatever shepherding entails, and this host of angels appears to you, announces the birth of the Savior, and then bursts forth into song. I would have loved to have been there to see that. That had to be just amazing, right? And look at the shepherds' response. It says, when the angels had left them, verse 15, and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Did you notice once again the shepherds' response? When you look at verse 15, it says, when the angels had left them. It doesn't say when the angels had left them, the shepherds stood around and said, what the heck was that? That might have been our response. No, no, no. They chose to go and find this newborn Savior, and they worshiped him. They went and worshiped him. In fact, they left proclaiming God's goodness and glorifying him. They said, let's go to Bethlehem. They dropped everything. They left their responsibilities and their duties behind for just a moment. I'm sure the sheep were like really confused, wondering what's going on here because the shepherds were gone. They put everything on hold to go and worship Jesus. They made a choice. They chose, once again, to go and worship this newborn Savior and to join this community of people who were huddled around the Savior. I know for many of you, when you come into the Christmas season, there's a feeling of stress because you have a lot to do. Some of you are entertaining. Some of you have a lot of responsibilities and cooking and cleaning and shopping for presents and all of these things. And you might even feel a little bit guilty if you slow down because you say, I have so much to do, Pastor. I don't know how to do that. And yet this is a season where we're supposed to slow down and actually worship. How do I do that? What does that look like? Well, I think we can learn a little something about the shepherds here, from the shepherds here. They stepped away from their isolation. They stepped away from their busyness, even their duties, to prefer the greater thing, the better thing, to worship the newborn king. And you know, they experienced something really incredible. They experienced something incredible. They were there to gather around the newborn Savior, and they became witnesses. You know, I never thought about this before, but the shepherds were the very first evangelists in the Bible. They went out proclaiming this Savior who was born. Have you ever thought about that before? They were the first ones to become witnesses to the birth of Christ and to go out and proclaim the good news. Not only were they worshipers, they became witnesses because they dropped everything and they went and spent time around the Savior and they embraced the fullness of it and it impacted them. They left worshiping and they became witnesses. What if we spent time during this Christmas season with Jesus so much so that we were transformed? That we were changed. Not only do we become worshipers, not only do we get closer to Jesus, but we actually have something to give somebody else. Because you know, folks, you can only give to someone else what you have for yourself. There's something really valuable here that we learn about the choice that the shepherds made to join the community of people gathered around the Christ. And so in the midst of our busyness, we can choose worship. We can choose worship. We don't have to miss Christmas this year. And so let me ask you this question this morning. As we begin this Christmas season, this Advent season, will you choose to join this community and worship the King? Will you prioritize being here? I want to encourage you, make this a season of worship. One of the ways you do that is to be here on Sunday morning to worship, to embrace this time fully, to be in relationship and in community with other believers. Thank you for being here this morning and starting off the season right. At the end of the service today, we're gonna celebrate communion together. We're gonna symbolically gather around the table of the Lord as a family, as the family of God, and we're gonna break bread and share the cup together. You see, you're here this morning. You're going to embrace that, be a part of that, and it's something very special. And so I don't just want something from you. I want something for you. I don't just want people in seats. Yes, I like preaching to more rather than less, but I want you to be here. I want you to be here, especially on Sundays during this Advent season, so you can worship fully. And my encouragement to you is let that become a lifestyle. Let being in God's house with the community of other believers gathered around the Savior, let that be like the foundation of your life. Let Sunday be the foundation of all the other days of your week and see what God does in you. And so let's choose in the midst of our busyness to worship and to be here together. Now, there's a third thing that we see in this story. As we're entering the Christmas story, we're going to look at one final perspective. We're going to see the story through one final perspective, and that's the perspective of the Magi. Now, we don't know a whole lot about the Magi. Some scholars consider them to be wise men. Some consider them to be astrologers. Some consider them to be even royal, maybe even kings. But either way, sometime after Jesus' birth, they had seen a star and made their way to Jerusalem to worship this newborn king. And what the scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 2 is that the Magi got to Jerusalem and they started asking everybody, where is this newborn king? They expected people to know, we want to worship him. Well, word gets back to King Herod, the local ruler there in Jerusalem, and King Herod's a little bit alarmed by this news of these wise men who have traveled from this other region to find out about this new king who might be a threat to his kingdom, to his rule, in his reign. So he goes to the rabbis and the priests and the scholars, and he says, tell me, where is the Messiah to be born? In the scriptures, in the prophecies, where does it say? And they tell him, in Bethlehem of Judea. So he goes back to the Magi, and he says, go to Bethlehem. Go to Bethlehem and find this newborn king. And when you find him, would you report back to me so I can come and worship him as well? Well, King Herod had no intention of worshiping, did he? In fact, he had every intention to go and kill this child. And look at what happens. Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. It says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So they follow the star. They go to Bethlehem. And this is sometime later. Traditionally, we kind of blend this all together. But scholars tell us it was most likely later. But they find the child and they present him with their best gifts. Their best gifts. Did you notice this? They honor him. Once again, they choose worship. They honor this newborn king with their best, with their gold and their frankincense and their myrrh. But then they're left with a choice. They're left with a choice, and it's really a choice between two kingdoms. On one hand, will they choose the kingdom of Herod, which is the kingdom of Rome, which represented power and wealth. This was a kingdom that could crush them. It had the power to crush them if they didn't bow to its wishes. And King Herod had made his wishes very clear. When you find this child, report back to me. So they could choose that kingdom, or they could choose the kingdom that was represented by this newborn baby. And thankfully, they chose wisely. Thankfully, they chose to recognize eternity and majesty in the form of a newborn child. And they chose wisely. They chose the kingdom of God. They chose to worship Jesus, and they presented him with their very best. And you know, this in this Christmas season, everyone is faced with the same choice that the Magi were faced. Will we bow down to the kingdom of individualism and consumerism? It's a kingdom that's always competing for our attention, isn't it? It's a kingdom that's always competing for our hearts and our minds in a thousand different ways, especially at this time of year. It's being marketed to us that fulfillment is found in consuming more. Will we bow to that kingdom, the kingdom of this world, or will we choose Christ's kingdom? So even in the midst of two kingdoms, we can choose worship. That's what the Magi did. That's what the wise men did. In the midst of this choice, they chose to worship. And they chose to worship Jesus with the very best that they had. You know, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he was talking about your money. In a sense, he was saying, if you want to know where your priorities are, follow the paper trail. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here's the truth. God's not after your money. God doesn't need your money. What God wants is your heart. But Jesus knew where you spend your money, where you prioritize your money, shows where your heart is. And so Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When we choose to worship God with our finances, when we prioritize worshiping God with our finances, it's a form, a beautiful form of worship. It's an expression of where our priorities lie. And so this is a season of giving, right? This is the Christmas season. It's a season of generosity. And we don't want to miss it. We don't want to bow to the kingdom of consumerism and not give our best gift to the Lord. We're going to have an opportunity to do that today. In the close of this service, we're going to worship the Lord in our giving. We do that every Sunday. We're going to receive our tithes and our offerings. And I want to encourage you and invite you, if you've never been a giver before, there's no better season than the Advent season to get into the flow of God's blessing and start practicing generosity. And in just a moment, I'm going to be telling you about a special Christmas offering we're going to receive, a special offering that 100% of it's going to be given away to bless people in need locally, nationally, and globally. It's going to be above and beyond our regular giving. And I'm going to ask you to pray today. I'm going to ask you to commit to give your best, okay? I'm not asking for your gold and your frankincense and your myrrh. I'm asking you to bring the very best that you have to him. And so we're going to pray about it. And I'm going to ask you to say, God, what do you want me to give this year as an expression of worship? And so, church, as we enter this Advent season, as we celebrate the greatest story that the world has ever known, let's commit together not to miss it. I really want this for you. I really want for you, by the time you get to the end of this month, to be able to say, man, I experienced something special this Christmas season. I'm coming out of this Christmas season closer to Jesus. I'm coming out of this season having worshiped in a special way. I'm more attuned to the good news that's being proclaimed around me. I entered into this story this year. I got closer to him. I chose to worship no matter what the circumstances were. I chose to give my best. I chose to be with the community of God's people gathered in his house. I chose to be filled with his presence. Even in the midst of uncertainty and busyness and consumerism, we can choose worship. So this morning, we're going to just be super intentional. We're going to pray again. I don't know about you, but for me, my prayer is, Lord, I want to prepare room in my heart for you, to be closer to you. I want my heart to be filled with the wonder of God with us. I'm telling you, no matter what you're going through this time of year, this is a season to know that God is with you. God is beside you, and we celebrate a God who became with you. one of us. It ought to just well up in your spirit as you begin to think about it. A God who walked in our shoes. A God who became human. A God who came down so we could come up. A God who didn't say you have to jump through all these hoops to meet me, but a God who took on flesh and blood and said, I'm going to come and experience what you've experienced. I'm going to know suffering. I'm going to know pain. I'm going to know loneliness. I'm even going to know death on a cross because I want to have a relationship with you. God is seeking us in this season. God is coming to us in this season. God is coming down and he's lifting us up. This is a season of worship and wonder, and I just want you to come into it with a heart that's wide open. God, my heart is wide open to receive you. God, my mind is open to receive this revelation of God who took on flesh and blood for me. Oh, I just pray that your spirit is filled like never before this Christmas season. Come on, stand with me this morning. We're going to receive communion in just a moment, but let's just pray. Let's just pray this morning and make this our commitment today, December 3rd, as we begin this Advent season, that we're going to worship fully. Maybe you want to lift your hands, bow your head. Maybe you want to grab your spouse's hand, somebody that you love, that you're standing close by, and let's just pray together. Let's commit right now. This is a special moment. Father, we thank you this morning. God, we thank you for this wonderful season. God, we thank you for a reminder. God, we thank you that it's being shouted from the rooftops in every direction this time of year. A Savior is born. We thank you for the wonder of the incarnation that, God, you took on flesh and blood. You came for us. You came to us. You're with us. You're beside us. And Lord, today we are committing to worship fully. We are opening our hearts. God, we're not going to let this Christmas season come in and out and go past us. We're not going to get to the end of these weeks and just be exhausted. No, no, no. We are going to make this a season of growing closer to you. And so we open our hearts to you today. Fill us with your presence, with your peace, with your Son, and with the wonder of a God who's with us and who comes close to us during this year. God, I thank you for it. I believe that as we do it, a blessing is going to come over our lives. We just say, do it in us. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.